The reading is taken from 1 John 2, verses 1 to 6. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. This is the word of the Lord.
So Jesus, we do thank you for your word and the ways in which you speak to us through it, the ways in which you can gather us together through it, and we pray that you would do that afresh today. Amen. One of the greatest gifts and revelations, I suppose, of that time in the church's history where we had an understanding known as the Reformation, is that we became aware through the interpretation of scripture that was given to us by those who were responsible for that movement of the knowledge, the fact that we are can be individually saved by Jesus Christ. The truth that if you were the only person in the world, Jesus still would have died for you is a truth that we have as a result of the Bible being translated into English and people coming to that realization that we can all have that personal salvation. One of the most challenging gifts and revelations to come out of the Reformation is that we can have a personal salvation. What I mean by that is it's absolutely wonderful to know that we can all individually be saved. But what we can forget by doing that is that we were not saved into isolation. We were saved into community. In our statement of becoming, there is a line that says that we want to be authentic, Holy Spirit-led communities. And that's what we're reflecting on this morning using this passage from John. Because the danger of personalizing our salvation to the extent in which some of the church have done is that we can forget the sense of community that we're called to by that salvation and through that salvation, and the sense of Christ being in us. Now, we often, because of that, when we read scriptures, we can see the word you or see the word us, and we can read that as singularly as possible, like you were saved. Great, wonderful. You are in Christ. That's wonderful. But more often than not, the word you that is used in the original Greek is a corporate together, you. It is a plural you. You together are saved. You together are in Christ. You together are the body of Christ. Yes, there is a sense of personal call on our lives. There is something that Jesus is doing with the individual. You did not choose me, but I chose you. There can be a very singular thing. But we are called, we are saved into community, into the body of Christ together, into this fellowship or a fellowship of the body of Christ around the world. Take, for example, the Word of God. The wonderful gift of the Bible that we have. Now, if, like me, you grew up in an evangelical tradition, you would have been taught from a very young age that you spend your days, you start your days with your quiet time reading the Bible. Yeah, people might have been sort of encouraged to do that as you were growing up. And that's a very good and a very right thing to do. I'm not knocking that in any way. But that's not what this was written for. The people who wrote this and collated this would not have dreamed of anybody reading it on their own, or only reading it on their own. We only do that because we have a printing press now that means that we can have numerous copies of this in our homes. And that personal reading of scripture is very good, but this was designed and given to be read in community, to be read and discovered together. to be enjoyed together, to be wrestled with together, to be heard together, to be argued with even together. It was written for a community to discover Jesus together. And that is still the desire for us today. It's good to read it on your own. Don't worry, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. It is a wonderful thing to do. But the danger of that is that we can pick and choose verses that mean something personal to me, and we can run with that and miss something that we might gain if we get it together. We are called into, saved into community. And it's a wonderful gift that we are. And this whole concept of being one together in that salvation, being saved together, is something I think that the writer of John, of this letter to John, is really getting at. And I'm just going to read through the passage again. It's only a few verses. And I'm going to put an emphasis where I think the writer, and this is my interpretation of scripture, you can disagree, but this is where I think the writer of this scripture may have wanted the emphasis to be. My dear children, it may be a different version to what we had, but this is fine. I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now by this we may be sure that we know him, if we obey his commands. Whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not obey his commands, is a liar. And in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk just as Jesus walked. Now, there used to be a phrase that would go around at the time that I was growing up, that you didn't have to go to church to be a Christian. And that's true. But at the same time, it certainly helps. One of my favourite sketches of all time, there were a duo called Punt and Dennis, and there was a close-up of his face, and he said, not going to church every Sunday doesn't make me a bad Christian. It pans out he's wearing a dog collar. He said, it makes me a bad vicar, but it doesn't make me a bad Christian. But this whole kind of concept of we are saved together, we are in this together, is a really important part of the gospel. We weren't saved into isolation. We were saved in community. If you have ever tried to do faith on your own, you will know that's true. It's not easy, is it? We know it's not easy. And that's why we depend on, not just that we're called to be in community, but we're called to depend on one another in that community together in God. We're made in the image of a God who is perfect community. So why would those made in his image be any different to him? If he is perfect community, then surely we are saved to be in perfect community. By perfect, I don't mean that there's no flaws and that there's no mistakes and that we get it right all the time. But this is what we're called to. This is what we're saved to. We need one another. We are genuinely in this together. The life of a Christian is not a life of competing with the Christian next to us. It's not a life of this church competing with that church or this church being better than that church. We are genuinely in this together as followers of Jesus, united around the commonality that is Jesus. We are equal partners in the gospel. Whether you have the authority of leadership or not, we are equal partners in the gospel of Christ, building the kingdom of God together as one people. And we are united around Jesus. The writer goes on to say how important it is that when we are together as one, that's where we grow in love for one another and for God. I often say at weddings that not only is love the fuel for marriage, but also marriage is the fuel for love. It's in marriage or in any relationship where we learn what love is really like. when the rubber hits the road, where we learn that love is a choice, not just a feeling or emotion, where we learn where love has to be self-sacrificial, where we learn where love needs forgiveness and grace and mercies new every morning. We learn, I've been recently heard this, that there's no such thing as a 50-50 marriage. It just doesn't exist. There are times when someone can only do 10% and the other person's doing 90. And there are times that between you, you can only do 20, and then you've got to come up with a plan of kindness for one another during that time. But as with any partnership, as with us as a church community, love fuels everything we do, but also everything we do fuels our love. As we grow in that understanding of what it means to be community together, and for any community to be authentic, it needs to be motivated by that love. You cannot manufacture community. It's impossible. People try. They try to set up plans and regulations and ways in which community might work in that church. So let's make it happen here by doing this, this, and this. You cannot manufacture community. But if you love one another well, community will be a natural byproduct. It will just happen as we love one another well. We are driven not by our style of worship, not by the preaching style that we receive, not by our Bible studies, not by our kids' work, not by communion even, not by even by prayer. We are driven together, we are motivated together by the love we have received and the love that we share. An authentic community is driven by that love. And we know it's a supernatural love. A love that we cannot muster on our own. When Jesus was stood before the disciples, promising the gift of the Holy Spirit, saying, "It is good that I'm going to go to be with the Father, because then the Counselor can come," he is not stood eyeballing just Peter and saying it just to Peter, "The Holy Spirit is coming for you." He says it to us all. And what he says is to the disciples, he says, "Go together to the room and wait. Wait together for what I'm going to do." And then we know, when does the Holy Spirit come? When as many people possible are gathered for a festival called Pentecost. And he comes in power and moves among them all. Doesn't move among one or two individuals. He moves among them all and works among them all. And so if we're going to grow in this supernatural love, then we need to be growing together in the Spirit. We need to be uniting together in him, acknowledging our need of him as a community of people, acknowledging we can't do this without him. If we want to genuinely see Christ in one another, Rick prayed this before the service, if we genuinely want to see Christ in one another, then we need to see with the Spirit's eyes. And that is the desire of any community, I think. Any Christian community should be to see Christ in each other. And we need him to do that for us. I wonder, if I was to ask you today, what does community mean to you? What the answers would be? Let's try it, shall we? What does community mean to you? Anyone want to say what community means to them? Not looking for holy answers here, but just whatever community means to you. Be brave.
Sharing time.
Sharing time. Caring for one another.
Belonging.
Belonging.
No judgment.
No judgment.
Support when things are tough.
Support when things are tough. Do you know what? Actually, that is so key. The mark of. Yeah, support. Absolutely. That weeping when we weep and rejoicing when we rejoice. Such an important mark of community that often gets forgotten. Anything else? No wrong answers, don't worry.
Security.
Togetherness.
Eating together.
You see, See, I did this yesterday with a group that I'm part of. There's an online community that I meet with on a Saturday morning of people from all over the world. I know I've talked about them before. And we asked that very question, what does community mean to you? This is a group of just 9 people. It's a place of trust, of vulnerability, of authenticity. It's a place where there is intentionality, where we have a shared focus, where there's a lack of expectation of others, where there's relationship without boundaries and without judgment, as Sam said. It's a place of safety and security, of unity but not conformity, a place where we do life with each other, where we have a common unity that is Jesus. It's a place where we hear and honour each other's stories, a place where there's genuine love and care for each other, a place where we share the gifts that God has given us. It's a place where all of us are growing together, from the youngest to the oldest. It's a place of mutuality, a place where we're all growing spiritually. It's a place where we hold things lightly. It's a place where there is health. It's a place where there is grace, where the Spirit is released to do what he wants to do. It is a place of belonging, not fitting in, but belonging. To fit in, you have to pretend to be something in order to be accepted. To belong, you're accepted as you are. It's a place where there is discernment. And as John highlighted last week, it's a place where there is kindness. And I don't know about you, but I can't help see the fact that this is exactly what the world is crying out for. More than ever before. And in Christ, we have it. We have it. We are in this together. What can we be doing to help those around us to grow in Christ? To rely on the Spirit, to be dependent on him together. What do we need to do in order to see Christ in the person to my left and to my right? Whether I agree with them or not. Whether I know them well or not. To genuinely see Christ in one another. Because that kind of community, well, I mean, that is the kind of community that led many, many people to believe in Jesus in the New Testament. Do you know, people were attracted, first of all, to a community living differently. And then they realized that community was driven by Christ and they wanted Christ. What would it be to be more and more and more to become a genuine Holy Spirit-led community that is marked by love? Actually, what would it mean to be Holy Spirit-led people who love one another well and see community as the natural byproduct of that love? We can't manufacture it. We can't make it up. We can't fake it. But if we love one another well, community will happen. And it is happening. God is doing this already. He is doing this work in us. But our prayer for today, our hope for today, is that whatever dependence we currently have on the Holy Spirit, that we would feel it's not enough. That we depend more on him. Yes, as individuals in our own lives, but also as community, we depend on him more than we ever could know. Because when we recognize that we depend on him, we can surrender ourselves. And whatever plans and hopes and dreams we might have, or things we might try to muster or make happen, if we're surrendered to him, fully surrendered to his work in our church, in our lives, in this community, in our villages, in our country, in the world, then genuine community will become more and more a reality. And what the world is crying out for, they will find in these doors. Feels like a tall order, doesn't it? But at the same time, as John is urging us, we have this in Christ. We have been called and saved into perfect community. And if you ever doubt what perfect community looks like, then Father, Son, Holy Spirit is all you need. See how perfectly they are one. See how perfectly their overflow of love led to you even being here today. To us even having a creation to enjoy. All a flow from perfect community of love. I genuinely believe that God is doing a deep, deep work in our parish. A behind-the-scenes work that we cannot yet see. Across all of our churches and all of our villages. And I believe that if we fully surrender ourselves together to His Spirit, then we're going to see wonders untold before. And I can't quantify that or say what that's going to look like. And I don't want to, because I don't want to manufacture it. I want to rely on Him for it. And I want us to rely on Him together for it. We have been through a tough season as a church. And the church nationally is still going through a tough season. We know that. But what I believe God is bringing from, I'm not going to say the ashes, that sounds a bit harsh, but what God is bringing from that brokenness, I believe, is genuine new life. And I can't wait to see what it's going to look like. But I know I can't make it happen, and you can't make it happen. But as He has promised, He is building His church. He is building His church. And He's saying to you and to me, will you join me in that? Together. Will you join me in that? We are in this together. Genuinely in it together. Brothers and sisters, not just here in this room, but around the world. We are in this together. And we depend on Him to do His work in us.